It's okay. Somebody out there is wearing a 1998 Dodgers World Series, or sorry, Padres World Series shirt because they made those just in case that happened.
Riding the bench. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Caleb Brown and Jacob Fagundes.
Welcome back to the Riding the Bench podcast. My name is Jacob Fagundes.
Dude, my name is Caleb Brown.
And we are super excited to talk some sports with you guys today. We may talk crap about your favorite sports, your favorite teams, your favorite players, but this is a fun environment. If you can't handle that, you may leave.
Yeah, you can.
We have a very special guest joining us this week. He is a native of South Bend, Indiana, and a 2019 Cal Ripken World Series runner-up. Please help me give a round of applause to Robin Pixley.
Robin Pixley, baby.
Thank you. Very excited to be here.
We are happy to have you, Robin.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're our first out-of-state person to be on the podcast, so
yeah,
have you. We're here, me and Robin are here in Denver on vacation, and I thought it'd be a great time to have a guest on, talk a little bit about his sports journey, but of course we got some news and stuff, and we got a fun draft, and so it's going to be a fun episode for sure. We're excited to have you, Robin.
Absolutely, thanks again, positive.
I'm scared. This is my first episode where I have not read the script. I have no idea what we're doing today.
Oh, I forgot to send it to you, huh?
No, really? No
right,
way.
So did you do NFL news?
I have a little bit of NFL news.
All right, go ahead.
So nothing too much just because there's nothing crazy happening. But Aaron Rodgers has officially announced that this is going to be his last year in the NFL, which is very good to hear. Because the dude needs to hang it up. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
The dude needs to hang up the cleats.
He's been playing too long. He's run his course for sure.
Yeah. But he basically says that this is the last year, and that's the reason he signed the 1 year with Pittsburgh, is because they don't need to dump any more money into him that they don't have. And he basically said it's a great place to end his career because it is in Pittsburgh, one of the cornerstones of football, with a great group of guys around him. He has a baller new receiver in DK Metcalf, who he also said was the main reason that he went to the Steelers, and he's surrounded by a city that wants to win.
I mean, yeah, but
they're not going to. I think they're going 9-8.
I don't think that team's going to be super competitive. I think honestly the ownership wouldn't be mad if they had a losing record this year just because they want a reason to get rid of Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Hard to get rid of a guy who's never had a losing record. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be that big of a pickup. It's not going to be better than Russell Wilson or Justin Fields last year. And so, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but I guess congratulations to him on his retirement. Get the hell out of the NFL. I don't like him anyways.
He's going to do better than Russ, but okay. Second of all, this is just a stupid little comment that I thought was funny. Tyreek Hill says that the Miami Dolphins are going to win the AFC because Tua turned the ball over is the best quarterback in the NFL.
That's so wrong. He can't even think straight.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is now backtracking, saying how much he loves the Miami Dolphins after he's been talking shit for the last couple months. All right, and then the big one that I think is the biggest. 49ers cornerback D'Amador Lenore was arrested in Los Angeles on Friday for obstructing law enforcement, refusing to cooperate, which sucks because I actually like D'Amador Lenore. I think he's a great corner. And everybody, don't be stupid. If you're an NFL player, you're privileged. You're making a lot of money to play a child's game. Don't be stupid. Don't mess it up. You got a lot on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Shame on you. Yeah.
CTE. What do you think?
Absolutely. CTE.
Yeah.
CTE ESPN, baby.
There was one more piece of NFL news that I wrote down just because I didn't know if you were going to get it. But Justin Tucker has officially been handed a suspension.
Oh, yes.
For 10 games, which is insane that it's only one less than Deshaun Watson when Deshaun Watson had 40 more cases.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. That's a really good point.
Yeah. So, I mean, Justin Tucker is my Walter Payton man of the year. but yeah, so I think it's kind of crazy that 10 games and Deshaun Watson only got 11.
Yeah.
But I understand. I do agree that he should get suspended.
100%.
Absolutely. There's no place in the game for that. He's out of there.
Exactly. He needs to go. Greatest kicker of all time, but that doesn't give you an excuse to be a jackass.
Yeah. Greatest kicker of all time. That's up for debate. I don't
What
know. It's
about
not
Lou
up
the
for
Toe
debate.
Groza? Cannot forget Lou the Toe Groza.
I'm still giving it to Justin Tucker.
Greatest kicker of all time.
right. Moving on from the NFL, we have a little bit of MLB news. First things first, congratulations to Sonny Gray. Friday night, he threw an 89 pitch complete game shutout, a one,
Damn.
and you just don't see that anymore. Big congratulations to him.
What a beast, dude.
Yeah. And then on that same night, Nick Martinez of the Cincinnati Reds w took a no-hitter into the ninth inning.
The
So,
ninth inning.
into the ninth inning. So he ended up walking the first batter in the ninth and then walked the first batter. And the next guy came up and ripped a double in the gap. It was unfortunate. It was against your Padres, Caleb. They still went on to win that game 8-1, but man, a hell of a performance out of those two guys Friday night.
What a performance.
Robin, in case you didn't know, Caleb's a Padres fan and he's a homer.
Oh.
So he's
If
pissed
you're
that.
wondering why there's yellow hitting my face, it's the screensaver on my laptop. It's the Padres logo.
Gotcha. Is that for, do you have the runner up for the 1998 World Series trophy somewhere there too? I wondered, because if not,
I can't believe we're going there.
I have a replica of the Yankees World Series that I could gladly send you and scribe Padres in there.
That'd be great, dude. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Just
For sure, I could
for
do
me to have something, you know what I mean? Just to
that.
show people and you know, just be proud.
It's the thought that counts.
We
They gave
appreciate it.
it
Yeah, you know, we tried.
their
Another piece of MLB news. This was something that happened last week, and I just want to address it because there's no place for it in baseball. But for those of you who didn't see, Ketel Marte started crying on the field during a game against the White Sox last week in Chicago. Someone from the stands yelled something about his mother who passed away in 2017. And I just want to come out and say there's no place for that in baseball. Heckling can be fun. But keep it professional, keep it fun, keep it lighthearted. Don't say anything that's going to be personal or anything like that. And there are good ways to do it. Like Trev's Chirps on TikTok, he's great. He goes out
Oh,
there, he
he's
has fun with the
hilarious.
players. He's awesome. But saying something that personal about that, I feel bad for Ketel Marte. And I
This is the
think,
second big time it's happened this season, too. It happened with Jarren Duran.
yeah, but there's just no place for that in baseball.
When I was younger, the Chicago White Sox had the Kansas City Royals in town, and there was a first base coach who was physically assaulted by a father and son. Because there was some chirping going on back and forth from a game before and even a series before with this first base coach and them. And so they physically came onto the field and assaulted them.
Oh, wow. That's insane.
There's just no room for it.
Not a bit.
No. Keep baseball fun. It's a kid's game. Keep it fun. And I'm very happy to announce that that fan, the 22-year-old fan, has now been banned from all 30 ballparks.
That's fantastic.
So,
Good.
justice is served. And I love that baseball's stepping up and showing support for Ketel
They should name the band after him so we all know his name.
That's smart.
Yeah.
They should. They won't name drop him.
Start a petition. We can figure it out. The internet's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally the entire world, dude.
Continuing on to some not so fun news. Aaron
That
Judge.
wait. Ketel Marte was fun news?
I said not continuing on to not so fun news.
Oh, I
So
thought you were saying like that was not so fun news.
this is still not fun news. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani both have earned their starting bids to start the All-Star game this year because they both had the most votes in round one of the voting.
No shit.
Yeah.
No shit. I saw that coming from a mile away.
Yeah. I think the system needs to be changed. Because are you trying to tell me that two Dodgers deserve it over
Two Padres? No.
the Wood guy from DC, from the Nationals? I mean, Ellie De La Cruz has the best numbers at shortstop this year in the National League, and Mookie Betts and Francisco Lindor got it over him. So, and this isn't just me coming from an I hate the Dodgers standpoint. I think that there are too many, like, 53% of the votes from the Dodgers this year have come from Japan. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's great that there's international viewership in the of baseball and the sport is growing. Like, it's awesome for the sport. But when you have all these players just going, like, let's be real, the Japanese players are going to LA because there's a big Japanese fan base there. And absolutely, that's fine. But then we need to refigure the way that we do all-star voting to make sure everybody has an equal chance and it's not just Dodgers making it to the finals every time.
I agree.
Yeah. What do you think, Robin?
So I'm the old guy in the room, and I remember when the All-Star games, I mean, I remember when Pete Rose ran into Ray Fosse and blew him out and ended his career. And it wasn't, I mean, in all honesty, it wasn't what the All-Star game was about then, but mm-hmm. it is what baseball has always been about, playing hard and giving the fans a show. Now, mm-hmm. I also am still that old to where I remember when the All-Star games were dead. They were no fun. They ended in ties. And the whole thing about playing for who gets home field advantage in the World Series has changed the All-Star game. I'm a Yankees fan. I'm an American League fan. So it's been a bunch. It's okay. Somebody out there is wearing a 1998 Dodgers World Series, or sorry, Padres World Series shirt because they made those just in case that happened. Okay. So it's okay. You can edit the hiccup, but the truth is in this verbiage. So
speak your gospel, bro.
I think that the fact that what Jacob said is that there's such a big MLB fan base in Japan, and you know, the game, the face of the game has changed a bunch since you know, Pete Rose and Ray Fosse, and it's because that's what this has been designed to do, is reach and grow and teach and grow. And the fact that we have games, the fact that there's people like, you know, Trevor Hoffman, who can go get another career and another start somewhere where they just look at the baseball player and let this game continue to grow. The fan base is what's making this grow. So if it's going to draw more people and more gear and more money for those, so there's more programs for the youth to continue to grow this game, and now this can be truly a worldwide thing, then I don't care if it's, you know, I don't care if it's the Dodgers play the Yankees, or I don't care what they come up with, as long as it's for the reason that this All-Star game is there is, number one, it's just entertainment. It doesn't count. And it's better than a tie with Bud Selig.
Damn it, Ryan. You can't put it like that.
Damn. No. Yeah, dude, I'm off your side. Like that, man. Even though he spent the whole episode shitting on my Padres, I'm with him. I'm with him on this one.
Yeah, you know, take Aaron Judge out of it. I mean, it'd be, if they want to add another spin to this, you know, select like the manager, or select by group of, like, you know, best, like, fielding teams, like start somewhere to where it just doesn't always give who's the guy on the face, but the guy of the face, that, you know, the guy on TV all the time is the guy that's pulling it. So.
Yeah, I think this may be a hot take, but I think it should be voted on by the peers. So I think the players themselves should vote for who starts in the All-Star game, because no one knows who's performing as well as the players now. And so I say, you can't vote for anyone on your team, but you guys take a ballot, go vote, and then we know we're getting teams that not only are guys that are talented, but it's guys that are going to get along, because guys aren't going to vote for dicks on other teams. Like, guys are going to make sure they're voting for people who they wouldn't mind playing with if they make the team. So,
I don't, but see, what if you could have, like, if you've got two rivalry people, they're not, I mean, that might be even more fun to throw those dudes in the dugout against each other. That's another little show.
Mm-hmm.
When Batista, whoever, you know, did that crazy bat flip, we'll put that other pitcher. That was an interleague game. You know what I mean? That's two American League or National League people, wherever they were playing at the time, because they change all the time. But put those in the dugout. That's another side show. Then we can have a little side bet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know. There's a reason I don't work in the major league. I don't have good ideas. But Robin's out here making us look like idiots on this episode.
I'm the old guy, because remember, I always feel like I got like to educate, and I don't.
The old guy, dude, the old head. Who was the face of the MLB when you were a kid?
All right, so.
Because Jackie Robinson was a rookie when you were a kid, right?
No, I went to his retirement speech, but you know, no. So it was baseball. It was the homers. It was so being a Yankees fan, you know, Derek Jeter, you know, Mariano Rivera, Jorge Posada, all those guys, the core that won those World Series, and Don Mattingly, like those guys were there. But then Pete Rose was phasing out that whole scandal. But what really brought baseball back is what probably is ruining what you guys are seeing in the form of baseball. But it really was Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire juicing up and smoking the ball, because in 1994, you had some of the greatest teams in all times. I mean, the team that the Cleveland Indians had, the team that the White Sox had that year, the team that the Yankees had that year, because I mean, the team that anybody had that year, it was they were doing so phenomenal. And then that stupid strike, and then nobody wanted to see it, nobody wanted to go. And then you get these two meatheads out there smoking the ball 500 feet, and it brought it back. And then what it brought it back to was you saw a bunch of, the shift things. You saw a bunch of the game itself wasn't the same look on the field when you were like when I was watching, Sandberg, that dude, that he was a fantastic home run hitter. He was a beanpole. Derek Jeter, like regardless, like him or love him, the evil empire, he was almost a flawless baseball player, and he did everything like the right way. And there were people like that to look up to, and then there were other people like the meatheads. And pitchers still get to use steroids. They got to throw the ball. Batters get to use steroids. They got to hit the ball. So it's an equal playing field, if you ask me, when it comes to that. Now, you look at Hank Aaron, the dude didn't do it with anything but his wrists. You did it to Babe Ruth, the dude didn't do it with anything but a hangover. You know, so, and it's like, the game is always going to be like what it is. But what I'm liking now is how we're seeing a bunch of speed and a bunch of skills be the face of the game. Like, I agree with you. Elly De La Cruz is fantastic to watch. I understand that, there's, the dude can hit the ball a mile, but the dude can throw the ball faster almost than any pitcher that's out there. And he can make excitement for them and confusion for the other team just by standing up there and putting his thing over his nose or having some stupid knob on his bat. You know what I mean? He's like, he's getting in their heads the right way, unlike, that Altuve team guy.
Yeah, we get to go watch Altuve play the Rockies this week, and I can't wait to boo the shit out of him.
Yeah, and I've got a 12-year-old son who can't wait to root him on because he's his favorite second baseman. So we're going to see how this goes. I
Oh
might have
boy.
to him, but it's going to be fun.
Some hands may be thrown,
Yeah.
except I'd never hit a 12-year-old.
It's all right. I won't let him hit Jake.
That 12-year-old would kick your ass, dude.
Dude, that 12-year-old kicked my ass.
Another piece of baseball news. We have two participants already announced for the Home Run Derby this year. We have Ronald Acuña Jr. and Cal Raleigh. Both have already committed to play or to participate in this year's Home Run Derby.
Oh.
So, I mean, I love the Home Run Derby. I think it's the most exciting, like, all-star event in sports. Like, I think it's better than all the skills challenges in the NFL. The dunk contest has gotten old and it's repetitive every year. I think the most exciting one year after year is the Home Run Derby. So I'm excited to see these two sluggers go at it.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
How do you feel about the Home Run Derby?
I love it. The only thing I wish that they would do is I really wish that the big guys, like every big star and every big, home run hitter would do it. It's great to see some of these young guys, but I want to see Aaron Judge up there hitting. I want to see Ohtani up there hitting. I want to see Trout up there hitting if he can keep a season together. I want to see these people. It's nice to see Acuña Jr. come back from what he went through and just still be right on target. I want to see Ellie. I want to see them torpedo bats. I want to see a show and hit, my favorite home run derby is when, if I'm not mistaken, Josh Hamilton of the Rangers at that time. I mean, that dude, if the wind or if one of those pieces of facade wasn't there, it would have been out of right field at Yankee Stadium. It was phenomenal. And it's like just to see the guys that can really do it every single time versus like, okay. I mean, the dunk contest, I know it's baseball. The dunk contest is so overrated and so dumb because nobody who really can do it does it in there because they're so worried about their insurance policies and this and that. And just it's a game, man. Give the fans what they want, If you don't make enough money off of your rookie contract, then you are doing it wrong.
Very true. That's a good point.
One last piece of baseball news, and then we have one piece of NBA news. But the last piece of baseball news, Bobby Witt Jr. has officially committed to play for Team USA in the 2026 World Baseball
I
Classic.
was literally just about to ask you. I haven't heard anything about the World Baseball Classic lately. What do we have?
Bobby Witt Jr. is playing, which is awesome. He's going to be a great shortstop on that team. So I'm super excited. Me and my buddy were talking about that, about how he's going to be make it great. Aaron Judge is going to be Captain America in 2026. So we've got guys slowly starting to commit, and I think that team's going to be dangerous.
I think they will too.
I think the World Baseball Classic is phenomenal for baseball. Like a lot, it's so much fun. And the last one proves it. You've got Shohei versus Trout. You've got, one country versus another country. You've got, so many different fan bases just rooting for that specific moment. And as a baseball fan, I didn't care how it shook out, either way. It was phenomenal. Yeah.
It's
For sure.
fun to watch. Every, what is it, 4 years, 3 years, however much they do it, it's always fun to watch. So,
Right.
one piece of NBA news before we get into the fun stuff for the episode. The draft was the other night, and Cooper Flagg goes number one overall to Dallas. I just want to throw that out there because he's insane. 18 years old. He's like the second youngest guy to ever get drafted behind LeBron. And he's, I think he's going to go do great things in Dallas.
I
But
still think there was some shady shit going on though with them winning the lottery.
yeah, after that trade, yeah, there's some conspiracy theories out there. So
I think
I
something
don't know.
shady was going on.
Yeah, but yeah, so Cooper Flagg goes number one. Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
Not only does Cooper Flagg go number one, but that entire starting lineup got drafted. So let's look at the fact that look at Coach K's legacy that he can get a coach in there to do that, and John Shire to come in there. Everybody was watching him. Everybody was trying to see if he could do it. We know he could play. We know he could run a team, but can he run a team in as the man in charge on the side? And just like anybody, took a hiccup and then boom. Off to the races. He doesn't need to have championships. Coach K got there so many times, didn't get championships. We still talk about Coach K's players who are out there making an impact in the game and the communities. And all five of those dudes within what, Coach Shire's first 5 years? Good on that dude, for
Yeah,
sure.
for sure.
Yeah. So that's all we have for the sports news. So now we're gonna move on to the fun stuff, or some of you may not find it fun, but we're gonna learn a little bit about our guests today. So first things first, I just want you to tell us your favorite sports team. So baseball, basketball, football, just what teams do you root for? College, because we'll get into that in a little bit. So who do you root for typically?
So I'm a Yankees fan, and I'm a Notre Dame fan. I'm not a huge pro football fan at all. I am a big college basketball fan, and when it comes to basketball, I'm kind of a fan of whoever my kids are a fan of because that just makes me pay attention to watch them, so I'm relevant in the conversation. So this year I was able to go catch the Pacers and the Lakers play, and it was just a phenomenal game. The product was great. The teams, the game came down to 0.2 seconds, and one of my ch children was ridiculously happy until 0.2 seconds happened, and then the other one, who had been mad for most of the game, was ridiculously happy. So it was
Yeah.
really cool. So I'll just follow whoever they do in the NBA. But yeah, I'm a big Yankees fan. Baseball is where my blood is at. That's really
Right.
what I pay attention to 12 months a year.
So you don't like pro football, but you would probably consider yourself a Cowboys fan? Cool.
I mean, in theory, like I'd always root for like somebody who's been bad for decades. So out of them, because when I rooted for the Padres, they made it to the World Series. It was against the Yankees, so I wasn't concerned, but like they got that far. So maybe if Dak went under anesthesia and got the rest of his body tattooed, he could be like equal when he ran, or I don't know.
Yeah,
But
maybe.
they have the star on the helmet, which is like the old Duesenberg. So I'm the old guy, but if anybody older than me, they too had that magazine by their toilet.
Oh, I can't throw anything at this guy. He's just gonna throw it right back at me harder.
Just a little bit.
What about college? Who do you vote for college?
Notre Dame. I
Notre
mean,
Dame.
I grew up a mile from the stadium. So, and I work at the stadium now. I work at a company there, and I am just out and in it, and it's always been fun. They've always been good. My family helped build the stadium, and I remember I played hockey when I was a kid on the Notre Dame ice, and when I was waiting for my mom to pick me up from practice, I'd take a tennis ball and shoot it up against the old football stadium, which is now the inside wall of the football stadium. And, I was in town when Rudy shot, and it's everybody's got a story about Notre Dame, but it's just always been a fun and exciting team. And they've always pretty much been relevant. And even if not, I still root for them because all those are 18 to 20 year old kids.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
That kind of brings me to my next question. What was it like growing up in the shadow of Notre Dame? You said you grew up a mile away from the stadium, which is awesome. We live 45 minutes away from Fresno State, which is nowhere near historic as Notre Dame. So what was it like growing up that close to the stadium? Did you go to games often? You said you played hockey on the ice there. So like, what was that like? How awesome was that?
So it was really cool. I didn't go to many games as a kid. I sold programs, so I got to go inside. That you could go in until halftime, but me getting back home, a mile and a half, roughly, is pretty hard to get back to before the sun goes down, when you're like 10 years old. So to get back to the other side of town or the other side was kind of tough. So I never stayed inside, but when I got older, I went to a bunch of games. And my most exciting is taking my kids to see them. My oldest son, Jackson, and I went and to the game in 2014 against North Carolina, and it was like a 45-48 shootout. I think the guy that the Bears wasted all that money on, Trubisky, was like on the sidelines. So there was like, I think, a guy Williams in front of him, and it was a shootout. It was a phenomenal game, and we sat in the seats like 2 rows behind the players, and Jackson was too little. So every time something happened, I picked him up, stood him up real quick, and by the time I was done, I had a horrible backache. But the part of that is going to the seeing the trumpets play in the Golden Dome at the at Notre Dame is emotionally life-changing. It's even it's it's that it's 18 to 22-year-old kids and they're playing their heart out to, what they believe is just the most phenomenal thing that they can think of, and they give it all, and the echoes and the stories and everything that runs through, Rockne's speech, win one for the Gipper, and Lou Holtz telling them that they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do, boys. All that stuff is all resonates there. And then you follow the team, and it's exactly as exciting as the end of Rudy is. It's just it happens every Saturday for 6 weeks.
Right.
That's awesome, man.
I got chills right now, dude. He's got me all fired up, dude.
So you said you worked at the stadium. So what exactly do you do? And I know you have like a history in woodworking and stuff. So how does that kind of connect to sports? And like, what do you do that involves the stadium?
So I work with a company called Game Day Your Way, which is a company that set we are full service tailgate company. We will set up everything you need. You party like a rock star. You come back after you're going to the game, and it looks as if nothing has ever happened. And so what I do is we basically get to go and set up in the parking lots and hang out with the tailgaters all day long. And we get VIPs that come in. Riley Leonard's dad tailgated with us every week.
No
So
way.
it's nice that I get to help run a company that was started by two college kids as a dream just to try to make it easier for people to tailgate. And this company does it for Notre Dame, and they also do for the Chicago Bears. And it's just a lot of fun being there, like kind of being in the atmosphere. And I mean, I get paid for it as well.
Yeah, and especially being heavily involved with two teams that have such loyal fan bases. That are so heavily involved. Like the Chicago Bears fans and Notre Dame fans are so incredibly involved.
And they travel well.
And then earlier we were talking about you did some stuff with woodworking in your past, and that like some stuff with sports. Can you explain a little bit about that and what that was all about?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked for this company called South Bend Woodworks, and it was a company that was started by a gentleman named Mike Lindbergh, who was a graduate of Notre Dame, went on to have a professional career, and wanted to give back to the community that made it possible for him to become professional. So he didn't want to give money to Notre Dame and have a building named after him or just like have some little grant. He wanted to come and give money to the community by employing people and giving jobs. So he hired veterans. We hired people straight out of prison. So we got like Goodwill Employer of the Year a few times. And he had this really cool outreach program to rehabilitate and help and just treat everybody as if we all make mistakes. And with that company came the opportunity of working with Notre Dame. And we had 11 collegiate licenses at our heyday. We had Notre Dame, IU, Purdue, Ohio State, Texas, Michigan, Michigan State, Stanford, Princeton, St. Mary's. I'm maybe forgetting a couple here, but it's we made big, huge wall hangings that were like 36 inches of, leprechauns and interlocking NDs and the Big Al and it was working with the sports stuff was really cool because I know that that was just some tangible joy that got to hang on somebody's den or somebody's, or give to somebody as a gift. And I know that when I made them and I saw the finished product and we got to see people, look at them and see how cool it was to have a, a homegrown, homemade product that was collegiately licensed and made with, by great craftsmanship from people who really appreciated just the ability to have a job and make you something that you'd like was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I know, and it's great work. I have one hanging on my wall. You made me a Notre Dame one, and sent it to me at one point. So I have that hanging on my wall, and I can attest to how great those things are made, and they're really nice pieces of work.
I'm gonna go break into your house and take it, dude.
I'll send you one.
Please.
You've got more for real. I will. And we also we worked with Kelly and made the Kelly's Cares trophy. So when they redid all of the benches at Notre Dame, we have benches that we would make pieces of the bench that would make the Kelly's Cares trophy. So we would
Oh,
get
wow.
granite from Goodwill. Goodwill workers would cut the granite, give it to us. We would make the trophy out of an old piece of the Notre Dame bench and present it to the winner of the Kelly's Cares trophy.
No way.
And we made Lou's Lads. Lou Holtz had a foundation that he did, and we made 150 business card holders that I sanded by hand, which getting tool marks out of 150 business card holders, if it was like Bo Schembechler, I would never would have made it.
Yeah, that's
I love
crazy.
it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I mentioned it earlier, but I'm gonna bring it up again, and it's our fun fact for the week. And our fun fact for the week is actually about you, Robin. Our fun fact is that Robin was an assistant coach for the 2019 46-60s Cal Ripken World Series runner-up. So those of you who know me know that I played in that World Series, and that's actually how Robin and I met. He was the first base coach, and I was the first baseman. And so you were an assistant coach on that team that ended up getting second place in the whole tournament. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
So I want to ask you, what was it like coaching your way to that World Series? So I w we were a host team, so we got an automatic bid. So I didn't really earn my way there. We definitely earned it once we got there. But you coached your way all the way through that entire season to earn your way there. So what was that like with those boys?
Ah, man. It was one of the greatest culminations of effort that I've ever seen come to fruition. We've had these kids together roughly since they were 8 years old. And today, that means that we didn't have them together earlier enough. You know what I mean? Because these kids are traveling at five. But we were a rec ball made up all-star team that only met for three tournaments a year if we did it right. So for a few years, we met for one tournament a year. When we became 10 years old is really when we had every piece in place. And I had a son on the team, so I had two hats. I got to sit there and take a ride with my son that was what every dad wants. I lost my father early and realized that time is what's important to me. So as long as they want me around, I'm going to be there. So we went on this ride and to get we won Ohio Valley, which is the tournament that we have to win to get to the World Series the previous 2 years. And there was no path for us when we went our 10-year-old year for some reason. They just didn't allow it to go. And our 11-year-old year, there was no path at all. So we had gotten to the furthest we could. And once we realized that there was this trip to California, we kind of added one more piece to the puzzle. We added a pitcher that just came in and happened to also be one of the greatest players that I've ever seen, who could hit, who could pitch, who could play third, and it was like the missing piece that we needed. And we got to the World Series, and it was the journey, was the destination. Like he said before, we ended up in second place. We came up against a juggernaut. We came up against a team that, I don't live in Visalia, and what I saw and what I came up against was a team that was very well put together, very well coached, but but was playing a little bit of a different game than the rest of us were, that had to do that, that had to coach our way and play our way against people who are playing the exact same everything. And so we came up against a team that made us feel like, we were human. We didn't feel human for a while. We were 33-1 over like 2 seasons. And
Holy shit.
and to know that we beat to get in, when we got to the World Series, we explained to our kids in the lobby of that hotel, "Gentlemen, this is what we came to do. We didn't we, this is what we have been doing since we were 8 years old, and this is why we've been doing it. So enjoy this moment. We are here. We have achieved our goal. Let's go see what we can do and set a couple more goals." So we started playing ball and having success. And I have to pause at having success and started playing ball, because where our first game was is where Jacob and I met. And the whole story of Jacob and I meeting was, when you coach your way through a tournament like that, when you coach your way through those, to win, sometimes you're playing 7, 8 games. Sometimes you're playing 7, 8 games in a season where, in 3 more tournaments, that's 24 extra games when you've already played a 20-game season. And here you're talking to a lot of kids. First baseman and first base coaches talk constantly. And it was a breath of fresh air to be in California. It was a breath of fresh air to be playing on one of my kids' birthdays. And it was a breath of fresh air to know that once I told my home run hitter, I never told him to hit a home run. I said, "It's your birthday, go ahead and get yourself a home run." Jacob looked at me, goes, "It's his home run? It's his birthday?" And it was like the second batter. And now it's like, yeah. And so we forgot about it, we just kept talking. And if you've ever talked to Jacob, or listened to him talk, there's one thing about him, is that he's honest, he's sincere, and he's got this old soul that, like, they just don't make him, you don't see that often. And he had that at 12. So, at 19, which he's going to turn in a couple of days, it's a little bit, it's a, you recognize that now, but it was crazy back then. So we had such a fantastic conversation. He was, jovial and joking with me, and he kind of gave it back to me a little bit, because you could see that he could take it. Because if I mean, I'm sure I'm just seeing your two banter, and for a Padres fan and a Giants fan, I'm really impressed. You know what I mean? But it was what the World Series is all about. It's what youth sports should be about, and what tournaments that are played and represent the right reasons are for, is connections and relationships. So after the game, the scores are irrelevant, but I
They beat
think
the
it,
shit out of
yeah,
us.
we run them real quick. But they were our host team, and they worked so hard to get us there, and they worked so hard to get us off the plane, we wanted to give them a rest. So we just the game real quick. So after, if you've ever been in a World Series or been to those, I'm sure Jacob's talked about it. After the handshake, each team comes and gives a gift to their opposing team, and it's a gift that represents. I still have the sunglasses that his dad gave me in there. So it's something that the kids just exchange, and everything was done, and the kids kind of mingle for a second, and then here I know every single kid in Jacob's coming back to say happy birthday to Kai, which was the kid's name. And I was like, man, this kid just impressed me again. So I caught his name, the name on the back of his jersey. I caught the name on the back of his dad's jersey. And I just went up and said, "Hey, is this your kid? Phenomenal kid, great baseball player. But the way that we talked, you guys are really doing something right, and you guys got something special here. And I just wanted to tell you, because nature of the beast, people usually tell you when you're doing wrong. When there's something negative, that's when you're going to hear about it. So we need to talk about the good when it's time to talk about it." So I had nothing else to do for 10 days in California except go watch this baseball tournament that I was trying to win. And his dad and I kept, we'd see each other, "Hey, nice to see you," but we'd be there for, second couple, 2, 3 days. And then here we are scouting each other's games, watching each other, talking to each other. Next thing I know, he's coming to the baseball park wearing the hat that our team was representing. And it's just like, I see how Jacob got it, because I see that it came from his dad. And I see how those coaches and the people in Visalia who really cared about their community and those baseball players, who had an opportunity to play on a stage like that. I mean, it was, like you said, you hosted it, you just got there. But still, it was a grandiose stage. I mean, we were being paraded. There was like that championship game. There were people. Sebastian Asejo hit a ball so far that it was hit on some old man's porch across the street, and there were people on like TV trucks. There were people on like containers out there watching the game, and it was so phenomenal for us. We've never played in front of that many people, and the kids that were there, like so many people were rooting for this little team from South Bend that were sitting there running our way through this tournament. We were just playing ball, having fun, given an opportunity, right? And then there's this team over there who's expected to win this whole thing, and here we are. We didn't care what we did, and I think we won over the fans, and we won over the moment, and most importantly, it worked for everybody because everybody that I know on my team still communicates with somebody in some form. We still watch them. We still know about the Visalia Rawhide. We still know they know about Jacob because I keep them informed, and the coaches, have asked me and stuff. But so this relationship turned into Jacob's dad, Tim, celebrating his 50th birthday last July in Chicago, which is 90 minutes from where I'm from. And then he and I and his wife and my wife, Jen, we sat down and had pizza at Lake Michigan and watched the sunset. We're like, we got to do this again. And here we are. So, coaching my way through that, has nothing really to do with baseball. I'll leave it on this because I know I'm long-winded and we got more. But I asked my kids, I've been coaching baseball for 15 years, and I asked my kids to do three things and three things only. That's do your job, be aggressive, and pick up your teammates. And I tell them that has nothing to do with baseball. So for Jacob, doing his job, being aggressive, and picking up his teammates, and not only his teammates, but my teammates, is what gives me the opportunity to know him, to appreciate him, to love him, to razz you about being a Padres fan, and to be on this podcast because it's all about what that mission was set out to do. I had no idea what the real destination was, and I think I might have just found it.
Damn.
Wow.
Damn.
Damn. Thanks for hyping me up.
No.
Dude, I'm fired up.
If they really knew, I mean, I'm sure they know because I know you've talked about it, but to know you is to love you, brother.
So I got a question for you, just real quick. On a scale of 1 to 10, when you heard you were coming to California to play in the World Series, how disappointed were you when you pulled up to Visalia, California?
No, you know what? I thought it was really cool because I've been to California a couple times before that. We flew into Fresno. So that airport with that big old tree and stuff, I thought that was really cool. And if but the boys really thought it was really cool. So it
A
was
big
awesome.
sequoia tree right before TSA. Classic.
But the fact that it was so hot and I drank 48,000 ounces of water and didn't sweat 1 ounce and still cramped while swimming in a swimming pool, that's what's impressive about Visalia.
I'm sure a lot of those teams weren't happy when they heard they were going to California, thinking San Diego, LA, San Francisco. Then you pull up to the Central Valley and you get 101 all week with crops all around you and no skyscrapers. But that's Central Valley
And a
for
strong, strong smell of shit that hits you when you're going through like Tulare. Woo!
that manure. Oh, nothing like it.
I come from the Midwest where it's flat and there's nothing but pig farms around me.
Oh, he's chilling.
So it's like I
He's
was at
chilling.
home, plus I got to play some baseball.
There you go. One more question before we get into our draft for the week. So you said you've been coaching baseball for 15 years.
Yes.
What's your favorite memory about coaching youth baseball? That's a stumper.
It's two because it's the same. It's in the same bucket in my brain. You got to teach compartmentalization sometimes in life, and it's in the same compartment. So Jacob was at the end of that World Series, and the way that the appreciation for the team from Guam broke that down, while all the participating teams who really cared about what that tournament was about were celebrating together, and that Guam broke it down and showed what that was about, being with my son to see what the appreciation of other kids and other cultures and other things, that was fantastic. Like it just having that, I've got more than one child, and to have that with just Jackson for that moment, that was our journey up until that point. That's what being a dad was about right there. My other son, Lyric, and I just finished his 12-year-old season in the same park that Jackson and I had gone through. And I realized that that was the last time that he and I would ever go to that same address to play baseball ever in our lives as a father-son, as he and his brother had allowed me to do for what has been the greatest portion of my life. And I've been able to be my best self because of them. So those two ending games and ending appreciation for what we just did as individual father and son, that's my two favorite baseball memories.
Yeah.
I love that. I
So
love that, dude. I was just telling Jacob when we took our little break is the thing I love about this episode so far, because Robin, I never met you. I didn't know what we were gonna talk about going into this episode. Somebody didn't send me the
I've
script, you know
only
what I
seen you in the movies, that's it.
mean? Yeah, you know, I didn't know what we were getting into. Somebody didn't send me the script. I'm not gonna name drop.
All right. I got it
But
at lunch.
what I love about this episode so far, dude, is how you're so involved in sports, whether that's, you know, coaching or now working for a company that's heavily involved with sports fan bases all over, and how you're kind of passing that down, and sharing that with your children, I think is the most special. So yeah, dude, I just gotta say how much I love how involved you are. You know, not knowing you at all, you know, seeing that you're such a good dad with your children and getting them involved and you know, really appreciating the things of sports that people don't really think about too often, because they
Yeah,
get too wrapped up into a lot of things.
I appreciate that. Hearing somebody else tell me I'm a good dad is really cool. I appreciate that. I coached to be the change that I didn't have. I coached to be what I needed. And this is a pocket of a kid's life that we really get to influence in a positive manner. And as a dad, you have to pick a time where you got to teach your children to trust other men. And I know that I can be one of those men that can be trusted, and they can see how I react with other kids, and hopefully they can do. And my oldest son is actually about to go to college and be to be a special ed teacher. And like
Wow.
so he's and my younger son is probably gonna do, I mean, he's into coaching already. So it's like it's you know, I'm trying to, and it's working. So I appreciate the record. I'm just sitting here talking, trying to make sure I'm not talking too much and call myself old too much, but
It's a podcast, dude. That's the best part.
yeah.
Just for a little bit of context going back,
Yeah.
he talked about how Guam kind of brought us all together. So before every game, Guam would do this chant. There's like, "Who's got my back?" And then we'd go, "I got your back." And then it ended up being that my team, the gray team, and Guam would do it together. And then at the end of the tournament, everyone who was there for the right reasons. So there was one team who was there who didn't necessarily have the same motives as everyone else. But every team who was there just for the community, for the experience, we all got together and did that chant as one big tournament. And I mean, going back and watch the videos, I'm getting chills right now just talking about it. That's what he's referring to, was that moment really showed how much of a community baseball is, and that tournament. Like, all of us worked our asses off to get there and to get to that point. And so that's what he was referring to. And I could fully understand how that meant a lot to you and your son, because it meant a lot to me and my dad for sure.
You know, being a foot taller than everybody else too, I got to see how tight grouped and you know the single color jerseys as a group that went in when this chant was done and as it was going was so melded. It was like it was just like pixelation of colors and pride and respect. And then again, that's why we were there.
Yeah, and then I had the pleasure of leading a part of that chant too. So my team had one too. It was "Who Are We, Family?" And I had the pleasure of leading that too. And I mean, again, I'm getting chills just talking about it. But yeah, so I fully understand where you're coming from, where that's a big moment for you and
Yeah,
your
that was
son.
awesome.
It's a big moment for me and my dad too. Enough of the sappy shit. Let's get into the fun stuff. So we have a very fun draft this week. We've been pondering when to do this one, and we thought this week would be a good week for it. So this week, our draft is the best sports nicknames. So
Woo!
there's just the best nicknames in sport. You got Prime Time, you got Panda, you got Sweet Feet. Like, you got all these awesome nicknames, and so we're drafting our top five for each of us. So Robin, you're the guest this week. You get the first overall pick. Caleb, you get the middle picks because I got them last week, and then
Cool with that.
I'll get the last pick, and this is a snake draft. So I'll end up getting back to back, and then Robin, you'll get back to back. But first, your number one overall pick.
I'm gonna go with Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Son of a bitch, I was gonna take that. Oh my God, I wanted Shoeless Joe Jackson so bad. God. All right, fine.
Great nickname.
All right, let me throw out arguably the greatest and most iconic nickname of all time. Give me Black Mamba.
Yep.
Give me Black Mamba, Mr. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, if you fell to me, I was gonna take it. But instead, I'm gonna go to one that's not necessarily like well known, but it's an awesome nickname. I'm gonna go with Walter Payton Sweetness.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Sweetness. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and so I get back-to-back picks since it's a snake draft. And with that, I'm gonna go to Babe Ruth. I'm gonna take the Great Bambino.
Damn it. Damn it. Oh, man. Okay. I gotta really think about this one because I got. You know what? Homer pick, absolutely, but it's still one of the most iconic. Give me prime time Deion Sanders. Prime time.
Yeah, I was going to take that just to piss you off, but I figured.
No, sir.
Robin, you get back to back.
I'm gonna start off by saying I love how you, I have like notes and you guys have computers. And you're like, you're looking these up, and I'm like the old guy again. I'll make reference. What I say, Shoeless Joe, so let's go to Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays.
Ooh.
Ooh. The Say Hey Kid.
The Say Hey Kid.
And then you get one more.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you get
Oh,
one more.
yeah. He was looking at me. I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, I got you. The answer.
Damn it. That was on my list.
That's a
Ah, freaking
good one.
AI, dude. All
Yep.
right. Gotta really think about this
That what
one.
you're using to make your picks?
Huh?
I said, is that what you're using to make your picks?
Yeah. exactly. I'm gonna go to football again. Give me Megatron. That's just so intimidating, dude.
That's a
Because
great
you
name.
see Calvin Johnson, he's freaking huge. He's got the black visor on. He's terrifying. And then you call him Megatron? Holy shit.
For my first of the back-to-back, I'm also going to go to football and I'm going to do another Johnson. And this nickname was so iconic, he changed his last name. So I'm going to go with Chad Johnson, also known as Chad Ochocinco.
Didn't even think about that. I did not even think about that.
For my next pick, I'm gonna go back to baseball, and I'm gonna pick someone who's probably known more as this than he is as his real name. But I'm gonna go with David Ortiz, Big Poppy. And I'm
Big
sorry,
Poppy.
sorry. I know you're a Yankees fan, but you gotta admit that's an iconic. It's an
It
iconic.
is. It is. You can't deny that. This is
No.
my fourth pick, right?
Yeah, your fourth pick.
Okay. Give me Shaq Diesel. Diesel. Another just dominant one. Scary nickname. Good fitting. Shaq Diesel, dude.
You get your back-to-back picks, it's your last two picks of the draft.
Me? All right.
Oh
Kurt
shit.
Beahome Bly 11.
Where are you going?
Kurt Beahome Bly 11.
Okay. I like it.
All right, you get one more pick. It's your last pick of the draft.
This is the game changer. Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Damn it!
Oh, that's
Damn it! That was literally gonna be my last pick. Damn it! Oh my gosh.
got this Captain America sign behind me, go for Judge.
Oh God. All right. One of my favorite nicknames in sports history. Give me Johnny Football.
Yep,
Or Johnny
Johnny.
Manziel. Johnny Football is a good one. That's my last pick.
That's your last pick.
Damn it.
There are a lot of great ones. You got Tiger, for Tiger Woods, Big Sexy, Bartolo Colon. I mean, there's all kinds of them. The freak, Tim Lincecum, the
Yeah.
legends. I mean, there's
Timmer.
so many great nicknames, but I'm gonna have to go with the Yankee here, and it's well deserved. I'm gonna go with Mr. October, Reggie Jackson.
Damn. Okay. I like it. Is that your last pick, or you have one more?
That's my last pick.
My
Somebody to
last
make
pick.
a good.
I have a few honorable mentions.
Go ahead.
The mailman Karl Malone. Timmy Fagundes. a com you know, modern one, Nikola Jokic, the Joker. One that people forget is a nickname because this is just his name, but give me Magic Johnson. And then lastly, Iron Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Iron
Yeah.
Mike.
You got any other honorable mentions that you want to
Yeah,
mention?
Joe DiMaggio, Mr. Coffee.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mr. November, Derek Jeter. Steph.
These old heads just got the best ones, dude.
That's because we remember when, we
Yes.
remember when the Padres were good.
You got Steph and Clay, the Splash Brothers.
Yep.
I mean, I'm scrolling through the list right now. There's a bunch of them. I mean,
Beast mode, Marshawn Lynch.
technically Babe Ruth is a nickname.
Yeah.
Because his name's George Herman Ruth. The captain, Derek Jeter, which I'm shocked you didn't take that one. But yeah, you got great nicknames. I mean, that's what's great about sports is you got nicknames everywhere.
I'm surprised neither one of you took the Sandman from Mariano Rivera.
Yeah. But Robin had some old head answers.
I
So
did. I did.
I'm not shocked.
Freaking old people, dude.
All right. Moving on to our last segment. This is how you know we're getting to the end of the episode. This week we have start bench cut. Well, every week we have start bench cut, but we're doing it a little different this week.
Explain it. I gotta go get my supplies.
Okay.
I'll be
So
back.
for those of you new listeners, or those of you who forgot, start bench cut is a weekly segment on our show where I would give us three items. You have to start one, bench one, and cut one. This week our start bench cut is cookies. Last week we had desserts and cookies was one of the options. This week it's actual cookies like you can buy from the store. And we're doing it a little different this week. So this week we actually have the cookies with us and we're going to be trying them. So this week our start bench cut is Nutter Butters, Oreos, and Chips Ahoy. So
Yup.
we all have them in front of us, and we're all going to eat each one at the same time. And then after we eat all three, we will do them in our ranking. So first, you want to start with the Nutter Butters? You're not allergic to peanut butter, right?
No.
No? All right. So we'll start with the Nutter Butter, Caleb, if you want to take one of those.
Nutter butters make my nipples hard, dude. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
My bad.
Go ahead. We'll try all three of them, and then we'll rank them at the end.
Cheers, fellas. Oh my God.
That's such a good cookie, dude.
This is perfect.
It's so underrated.
That is. Nobody really thinks about these Nutter Butters too much.
That's what's gonna be tough, is that all three of these are really good. So starting one, benching one, cutting one. That's why it's easy when we have all of them in front of us, so we can do head-to-head comparisons.
I like to throw small Nutter Butters in the popcorn at the movie theater. Oh.
That's so smart,
I'm
dude.
gonna grab a water to cleanse my palate.
To cleanse your palate.
Yep.
And I'm the old head.
Yeah, dude. Cleanse his palate. It's a whiskey tasting for him. Except
Well, Robin's already got a water sitting next to him. So
I
he
don't
just
have
didn't.
any I don't have anything because I don't need to cleanse my palate. I've been
All right,
eating
next
every
up,
single one of these foods for 19 years.
we're gonna do the Oreos next.
I couldn't find any traditional Oreos, but I've also been eating Oreos religiously my entire life, so I got Oreos cakes.
Oh, that's not the same, but I guess I can forgive
Yes,
you.
it is, dude.
It's definitely not the same. Okay. Do you eat Oreos whole or do you take them apart and eat them individually?
If you take them
See.
apart and eat them individually, you're a psychopath.
As Robin was getting ready to take it apart.
Actually, I take any cookie I can take apart and eat individually, I do.
Really?
You're a weirdo.
Some people might agree with you on the psychopath part, so I'm
Dude,
not you're wrong, you know what I mean?
I
Yeah.
swear I will just
Understood and correct.
dunk the whole Oreo in the milk until it almost falls out of your fingers and then just, ooh.
That's what my daughter does. She just drops them in there until they're like descendant. She eats them with a spoon.
Yeah, that's smart.
We got milk upstairs. I may have
But
to go.
see how I really do it, because like I also conserve because I have kids and sometimes they get more than I do or all the time, is I take it, and I know you can't see this, but he can. And I'll basically take like half the frosting and put it on one side and eat it.
You're insane.
And then I'll take this and eat this side.
I'm disgusted right now. Well, I mean, if
I'll
he's eating it,
eat
I guess
the
I'll.
same cookie getting the same sweetness, but it's taking me twice as long.
I mean, I guess you got a point.
Holy shit.
Now, just think about this. You could prolong your experience with what you're having right now if you cut that thing in half.
But it's so much more enjoyable when you just get it all at once. Ooh, that's good.
Glad I missed a
Oh,
couple
like
here.
that one World Series attempt. Just
I'm
quick, just real quick. I
done,
mean, I
dude.
love Tony Gwynn and I love AC/DC. So, like, no, it was cool. It was good for baseball. I did feel bad for him because I really liked that team, and it, like, they finally got there. And I love Tony Gwynn. I really love Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, and even nowadays, everybody loves Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. So,
Those guys. I
leave
mean,
that.
I get it. If they weren't like, I don't know, cheaters, I guess.
Hey, that's only one of them, dude. Relax.
Well, I don't know. I think some if the cheating is both people get to shoot themselves up with muscle growing tissue, then go for it. But if you got to sit there and do electronic and bang cans and shit like that, then that ain't right. That deserves some meet me by the parking lot after school.
Eat the fucking cookie, Rowan.
Remember?
Chips Ahoy's the last one.
Ooh.
This is gonna be tough.
I got my list.
I think I got mine too.
I'm starting my list. I got my list, no problem.
I think we just
All right, before we start, I just want to point out that Robin may be my favorite guest we've ever had just because of the amount of shit he gives you, Caleb. And you won't give it back to him because you don't know him well enough.
Yeah, and he's gonna freaking throw like I can really try, but I know that there's no point because he's just gonna slap me.
You can, I won't, and he paid me.
Oh, see? That makes sense. That checks out. That tracks.
That's my version of cut bench start.
All right. Now that we've had all three, it's time to rank them. Start, bench, cut. Caleb, why don't you take us away?
All right, I'm starting Nutter Butters. I'm benching Oreos and I'm cutting Chips Ahoy.
All right.
The only reason Nutter Butters are getting the start is because Chips Ahoy and Oreos are both enhanced by milk, in my opinion. What are you guys laughing about? You guys talking shit over
Robin just handed me the Chips Ahoy and said, "Get this away from me."
there? Okay, see?
I have to eat
Nutter
another.
Butters are perfect standalone, and these two can both be enhanced by milk.
I think Nutter Butters can also be enhanced by milk, though. Have you ever tried
Robin, I'm looking for a new co-host if you got the time.
it? I'm down.
Perfect. Great. I'll send you the info to the email and the Instagram and the TikTok and all that stuff.
Can you fax me?
Yeah, I can fax you. Yeah. And I know you're busy in the day. Do you have your beeper or your pager that I could contact you on?
Oh, I have a party line still. So when you call in, it's like my mom might answer the phone, or my aunt, or my cousin, or her best friend because she lives down the street. But you just let them know. I'll call you back.
I'll let him know.
Robin, go ahead and give us your start bench cut.
Right. I had a sleeper. I swear I had my mind made up when we talked about this earlier. Chips Ahoy just came in for the start.
What the hell?
My grandma's channeling me. I don't know why. I don't even think she liked me, but she had good cookies. I think that Nutter Butters are gonna be benched, and I'm cutting Oreos.
Holy shit.
I think Oreos are overrated. Like it's,
Yeah.
like it's totally not what it even looks like, because you're eating like, air whipped oil from palm tree nuts. You know what I mean? That probably don't really exist. So who knows what you're eating?
Yeah. Well, I also had a different idea of what I was going to do before we because
Don't
I didn't
even
want
think
it.
about it, bro.
Anyways, I had a different idea when we talked about this earlier, but after trying all three, I'm really happy we did this because My idea completely changed. Earlier, I was gonna bench Oreo, or I was gonna cut Oreos, and now I think I'm gonna start them.
Holy shit.
After eating them, I think I'm gonna start Oreos.
Well, that's out of spite for content, I can see.
Yeah, but this is the first time in Riding the Bench history that all three people have had different starts.
But dude, you are just like, I'm just letting you know this right now. You're really just trying to be different. I don't think you really enjoy Oreos that much. You're just chasing the shock factor.
It was great. I'm gonna eat the rest of them right now.
Because he ain't got no more Chips Ahoy. I ate them.
Caleb, you want the Nutter Butters?
Dude, I got a whole bag.
Big back. I'm gonna bench Nutter Butters.
Okay.
I love Nutter Butters, and then I'm gonna cut Chips Ahoy, which I also love Chips Ahoy. It's so hard to cut any of them because they're all so amazing. I wish I could start, but that's not an option. So I'm gonna start
Yeah, I'm
Oreo.
a big back.
Yeah, but yeah, that's all I have for this episode. Robin, thank you so much, dude. You killed it. It was a lot of fun. So thank you for coming on this week.
My pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Of course, dude. It's been a pleasure having you on, getting to hear your stories. Dude, you got me fired up, dude. I'm about to wake up tomorrow feeling like a new man.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. This has been awesome. I was a little bit nervous, a little bit concerned, but I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So did we.
It's
Go
been a
Padres.
good blast for us. So again, thank you so much for coming on.
I have one question. Is this the last episode before your birthday?
Yeah,
Holy
yes.
shit. Happy birthday, Jake.
Thank you.
Should we sing to him?
Yes.
Happy
Happy
birthday
birthday to you.
Happy
Happy birthday to
to
you.
you. Happy
Happy
birthday,
birthday,
dear
dear
Jacob.
Jake.
Happy
Happy
birthday
birthday to
to you.
you.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Happy
Yeah.
birthday, pal.
Come out on Tuesday. And so it'll come out a day after my birthday. So I'll be 19 when this comes out.
Sweet.
But
Yep. Everybody go send Jacob a happy birthday.
thank you, guys. Again, Robin, thank you so much. It was awesome. You did great. This was a great episode. Maybe this is probably one of my favorite episodes.
Me too.
If you guys like what you hear, you guys want to hear more, go give us a follow on Instagram if you have any suggestions for us, anything like that. Go follow us on Instagram at Riding the Bench Pod. We also just made a TikTok. Special announcement. We just made a TikTok. We'll be active on that really soon. So go over there, follow our TikTok also at Riding the Bench Pod. So
Don't
we're
forget the
expanding.
party line.
Don't
Yeah, the party line. Put that on there.
call us at our party line at 911. Don't call us
That
at
was
911.
so stupid.
Yeah, go follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Riding the Bench Pod. Send us any ideas you guys have. Caleb, you want to do the donating spiel?
Yeah, so on your birthday's on Monday, right? Yeah, on Monday, we will officially both be 19-year-old kids with a podcast. Trying to make things happen, trying to expand this show, trying to, make the most of it. But that is not cheap, okay? That is 100% not cheap. So if you want to help us out, help us grow this thing to what we want it to be, go to rss.com/riding-the-bench, click that little donate button. It'll take you to a link telling you a little bit about us and what your money's going to be going towards, and it would be greatly appreciated.
Yep. So go do both of those things. As a reminder, my name is Jacob Fagundes.
My name is Caleb Brown.
This has been the Ride to the Bench podcast. Stay bench, boys.